Haines residents show up in force to voice opposition to a winter recreation map, and the Haines School District finds its upcoming budget deficit is a little less severe. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Dozens of Haines residents turned out to a meeting Tuesday to defend their rights to use snow machines and four-wheelers in certain parts of the Chilkat Valley. But the committee they voiced their arguments to said it was not planning on restricting that use in the first place. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee usually has a handful of people in attendance at its meetings. Not this time. The committee had to switch its meeting venue last minute when they heard about the rumor that would bring more than 50 people to the audience.
We don't have any plans of limiting motorized vehicle access at this point, or we haven't even thought about doing that.
That's Interim Borough Manager Brad Ryan. He said the impression that the Parks Committee wanted to restrict motorized uses in the 25 Mile and Kicking Horse Valley areas was false. The Parks Committee is interested in creating a comprehensive winter recreation map. Committee member Burl Sheldon explained that the most recent Heliski map committee sparked the idea.
Maybe we should look at a bigger picture for recreational use planning, for winter recreational use planning, instead of always being reactive to the needs of the Heliski group.
Committee member Tom Ely reiterated that they were not planning on shutting down certain areas to snow machining or other activities.
And we all live here to do the things we like to do in the winter, whether that's snow machining or skiing or whatever. And like a lot of things in Haines, a rumor gets started. And Donnie Turner called me up earlier this afternoon and said, hey, I hear you want to shut us out of the Kicking Horse and, you know, no snow machines up the Kicking Horse. And I said, no, that's not it at all.
But the reassurances from the committee members and the interim manager did not ease the audience's concerns.
I think it's kind of crazy that you guys just went out on a limb and decided to shut down half the valley.
That's Charles DeWitt. To be clear, the Parks Committee did not decide to shut anything down, and any decisions they make are just advisory to the Borough Assembly. But the audience members had a bigger concern that creation of a map or a plan would infringe on their freedoms.
So essentially, what we're talking about here is a loss of rights.
Longtime residents like Mike Makoviak said they've seen motorized use areas chipped away over the years.
I think it's interesting that it's Black History Month this year, and we're celebrating the fact that we no longer have people that have to sit in the back of the bus or that can't get on the bus at all. And yet here we're talking about divvying up the land right now that's open to everyone, public use, and saying that, no, only some people are going to get to use this because they're better citizens. I'm tired of being treated as a second-rate citizen.
The Parks Committee said the map idea is an effort to plan for the future. Nicole Holm responded to that.
Well, the future is my kids, and the future is a whole bunch of these other kids around here. We moved back here so my kids could go moose hunting, so they can ride four-wheelers, so they can go up the river. And if you guys think that once they start putting restrictions that they're not going to keep going, they will.
Jerry Lapp questioned the borough's authority to impose restrictions. He said the legislation that designated the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve protects traditional uses, including operation of motorized vehicles. Many people encouraged the Parks Committee to forget the idea of a winter recreation plan completely. Here's Jerry Ernie.
Why are we even jumping through these hoops? Just drop it.
Parks Committee Chair Rich Chapel says his group will consider at upcoming meetings whether to pursue the winter recreation plan. Chapel says he was not expecting the idea to become controversial. The committee usually gets very little public feedback on its work. Even though, to a certain extent, it was a misunderstanding that drove the crowd of residents to the meeting, Chapel says he's glad they spoke out. He says they got their message across. The last few weeks have been a kind of financial roller coaster for the Haines School. At the end of January, the district realized they were facing a bigger deficit than expected for the coming year. They started brainstorming how to make up about $500,000. But as KHNS's Abby Collins reports, the district just discovered one factor that will save a big chunk of that shortfall.
The budget process is pretty complicated, but what's going on at the Haines School right now mostly centers around one thing: enrollment. That's what state funding is based on. The more students a school has, the more money they can expect from the state. For the Haines School these days, that means less money. Enrollment declined this school year and is projected to go down again next year by about 10 students. But based on preliminary estimates from the state, the district initially thought they were in pretty good shape. Then they realized last month that first projection was based on the wrong number of students. And the updated estimate meant the school would be facing about a $487,000 deficit in FY18. $500,000 is a daunting figure, especially given the school has about $6,000 less than that in reserves. So Superintendent Tony Habra began meeting with staff and community members to gather input about spending priorities as the budget process moves forward. But this week, the district was able to knock about $123,000 off of that deficit. The savings tie back to the state's calculation process. According to Habra, one key factor wasn't taken into account. That factor is something called hold harmless, a measure that helps districts that see a significant decline in students handle the burden of a funding loss.
We lost 10 students between 2016 and FY17, and so we got back into hold harmless, and it tapered off that loss instead of losing all of those students at once.
According to Elwin Blackwell, the school finance manager at the State Department of Education and Early Development, the state makes their projections based on the data that is available to them at the time.
Back in November, when we were publishing the projections for FY18, that was the most recent information we had, and that's what we published, and that's what most districts would have been looking at as a starting point for their budgeting.
He says the state didn't have the hold harmless information when it made the first projection for Haines FY18 funding. Here's Habra.
So when they gave us our amount of money we were receiving, it failed to recognize we should get about $123,000
more. Blackwell says they don't normally go back and make adjustments to the projection. That's normally sorted out when the funding is actually provided. But when Habra inquired about the difference, they were able to make the adjustment to reflect that change. With the updated estimate, the school is already in much better shape, but they're still facing a shortfall of about $364,000, and continue to look at how to make that up between drawing from savings and making cuts. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
There are hundreds of pages of Haines-Borough Code that dictate everything from assembly procedures to land use. It's the newly formed Code Review Commission's job to find redundant or unnecessary pieces of code and recommend changes. At a meeting last week, the commission spent more than an hour debating where to start. The incentive to clean up code was born out of the community's negative reaction to a minor offenses ordinance. The ordinance brought to light the number of small violations that exist in borough code. But the commission decided not to start with minor offenses. They instead chose Title II, which deals with administration and personnel. Commission member Daniel Humphrey suggested that starting place in an email. Humphrey said, in light of recent dynamics around the assembly's relationship with the borough manager, that part of code could use a closer look. In December, the assembly fired manager Bill Seward during his six-month evaluation. There's been significant turnover in the top borough job. Commission member Don Turner Jr. supported starting with Title II.
And I think that being that we're getting ready to hire a new manager and stuff, that personally, I think that would be a real good space to start at.
Chairman Mike Danker pushed to prioritize the code around signs. He says, based on his research, Haines' sign ordinance violates the First Amendment.
So these are potential legal liabilities for the borough. They are.
The commission will tackle the first two chapters of Title II at its next meeting on March 2nd. Those chapters deal with borough officers and employees and the code of ethics. The signs ordinance is also on the agenda. After addressing those two topics, the commission will move to minor offenses. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.